Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Welcome to the Risk Podcast number 581.
It's a big weekend, Katie.
Why is it a big weekend?
What do you mean, why it's a big... Walking Dead comes back.
Oh, yeah.
That means my other job starts up again, which I'm very excited about.
I forgot about that.
How could you... How dare you not think about me and my work all the time? Do you want me? Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what. I'll invite you to my work calendar for your iCal so that you can just see everything.
See everything else that you're doing?
Can you fucking imagine if I did? I was like, you know, just as a favor, I want to make sure that you're up to date in everything I'm doing.
I knew that, though. I did know that. I did, because, yeah, I keep seeing the billboards everywhere for Walking Dead.
So that means Talking Dead's coming back. The first episode's insane. It's disturbing. Some really fucked up stuff happens in the first episode. It's a very satisfying season premiere, but it's a really fucked up season premiere. And then on Talking Dead right afterwards at 10, 9 Central, it's, I believe it's Nicotero, Scott Gimple, and Conan O'Brien.
Oh, that'd be great. I love Scott Gimple.
Gimple's great.
He does a show at the Nerd Melt showroom called The Friday 40 with Dave Holmes. That's one of my favorites.
Gimple's great, and then... Conan will be really great. Not too. Really. And Nicotero's, I love all those guys. It's gonna be fun this weekend, October 12th. Oh, I'll be at New York Comic Con too. I'm moderating the Disney panel, and then I'm moderate on Thursday, and then I'm moderating the panel for Birdman on Friday, and then Walking Dead on Saturday.
Awesome.
And then I'll be running around shooting promos for At Midnight because we're gonna be in New York. Yeah, for New York Comedy Festival in November, doing At Midnight shows. This episode is Martin Starr, who is phenomenal in Silicon Valley and pretty much everything else he's ever done. Freaks and Geeks, you probably
Party
saw him.
Down.
Party Down. And I met him, well, we did Thrilling Adventure Hour, I think, once together, and he was great in that, too. But he's promoting a movie called Dead Snow 2, Red vs. Dead, out in theaters October 10th. So you should watch that. It's a good zombie movie. Funny. A hilarious zombie. I guess you could call it. So, and then Martin was also popping on At Midnight tonight, I think. So maybe that already happened, but it'll be online somewhere. All right, Nerds episode number 581 with Martin Starr.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Well, I didn't know if anyone told you this is the Creed podcast. We're just going to sing and talk about the songs of Creed the entire time.
Okay.
Martin Starr, wide open. It's the only one I know.
Yeah, I wouldn't even have put their name on that one. I don't even remember.
Well, why would you agree to come on a Creed cast if you... I don't understand.
Can I see? Do we have something else?
Sorry, we have something else.
All right. Welcome, Martin Starr.
Hey, thank you. Are we starting already?
Yeah, this is it.
Hey, great.
It's pretty informal.
This is simple.
It's just a convo.
Hey, I like convos.
How have you been?
Good.
Did you play Destiny at that event?
Wait, I've gotten so deep into Destiny, it is unfortunate. The nerdiest words are, I go to the Cryptarch every day, and my Cryptarch level is level 7. I really should stop talking.
No, this is a safe zone.
I feel
you can say those things.
Yeah, I don't we shouldn't talk about these.
You don't
things.
Want to talk about them?
Okay, fine. Have you played at all?
I didn't get to play that much because my work schedule is oppressive, and
Do you have the game?
I do have it. I do have it. It's just it mocks me every night when I come home and know that
you haven't played at all.
I played a little bit, but the problem for a game, a problem for me with a game like that is that I know that I know what it does to my brain. And if it's going to mean that I'm not going to be able to play for a week once I start a game that would probably take, you know, 40 or 50 hours for me to play.
Here's the thing. I really enjoy the multiplayer. And it's fun to, like, go on and play with your buddies. But as far as, like, the game, like, the story is terrible. It's, like, maybe the dumbest story I've heard. I'm just, like, zone out. But it's really fun to go on and just play with your buds. Like I go and play with like Kumail and Thomas, and if you hop on, I'll get your gamer tag. We can play a little bit, but it's just like fun to like go on and kill baddies with your boys.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
We gotta do that.
Yeah.
Let's form a party. Let's make a band.
Let's do it. It's something that's really dumb though. It's like, it's very cyclical. And so like you just go back and play the same missions over and over and over again for different things, which it's still fun. Surprisingly, really fun still. But they still make you look like watch some of the cut screens.
Oh, you have to watch cutscenes.
Yeah, which yeah. like I don't need it. You know, I've seen it seven times now.
You should just be able to like A through that or something.
At what point?
What are you playing? Anything else?
No, I play a little bit of Madden.
Nice.
I enjoy that as well.
Now I think maybe the first time I met you was probably like a Thrilling Adventure Hour, right? You did Thrilling a few years ago, didn't you?
Maybe, yeah.
Something was something at Largo. There was some sort of an event at Largo.
Definitely. That was definitely Thrilling Adventure. But I didn't know if that was the first time I'd met you. I thought I met you prior to that.
Maybe it's possible.
Maybe at the comedy, San Francisco, the comedy.
Oh, it's Sketchfest.
Sketchfest.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's Sketchfest. Did you guys do a Freaks and Geeks reunion there? Was that what was going on? At some point many years ago? Because I feel like Linda was there.
Definitely. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah. So let's go back and let's talk about that show a little bit, Martin, because it's...
That's all right.
Okay. Let's talk about anything else.
Okay.
What's your favorite cereal?
Brick color. I'd go with like...
Wait,
nice
brick's not a color?
Reddish brick type color.
This is... Well, you'll be pleased to know that this room is half exactly what you just described.
What?
Yeah. I mean, look around you.
Oh my God, you're right. From here, it looks 75%, but if I turn my head, I see the white wall.
What's your background?
What do you mean?
Don't say brick wall.
I'm not brick wall.
Okay. What is your background in terms of, what is your comedy background?
Jebediah.
Okay. That was it?
Yeah. That's where I learned it.
And then what was your plan?
I zero plans.
Really?
I just go. I fly by the seat of my butt.
Do you really just fly by the seat of your butt?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Have you seen my butt?
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to see it through the desk.
Yeah, I got wings. I got wings. I fly.
You have a winged butt.
Yeah. I had no plans. It just kind of happened. I didn't think I'd be able to do Man, if I'd only known at 32, I'd be doing a podcast.
Yep. It's all bets
I would have never
off.
Believed it.
32-year-old Martin could go back and tell 17-year-old Martin somebody
like,
going to be
what the fuck's a podcast?
That's exactly what he'd be saying.
Yeah.
Also, what's going on with the economy? Give me some more information because... Yeah.
What happened with Obama?
We could make a killing.
I knew about Obama way there? Back when.
you knew 17, yeah. You knew 15 years ago.
I was rooting for him when he was running for senator.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in LA.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I don't meet a lot of people who grew up in Los Angeles.
No, that I know, very few. Lizzie Kaplan and I knew each other when we were very young. But there are a few other people that I know that grew up in LA.
Someday you're going to be on a sex show.
Yeah.
What?
Bear and all.
That's kind of weird to see your friends.
I don't see it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't watch it. Okay. She's my friend. Yeah. I hear it's good. She, at one point, told me she was going to send me, because she has like different cuts of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so that her family can see it.
Oh,
so like they'll cut out her nudity bits.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I'll send it to you. And then at the end of that conversation, she was like, oh, just suck it up. Quit being a pussy and just watch the show. Who gives a shit?
I do have the same kind of weird thing. Like when I have friends that I know or
they're like, oh yeah, and I did this nude scene thing. Like, I don't want that information in my brain.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's natural. Like, we're all ultimately naked always.
Yeah, for sure. I just don't want to be, you know, doing it one day and like that to flash into my head. I don't. It would just like fuck with me. It would like really fuck with me if I was just like going through the catalog of visual information I have.
Doing it, so you'd have to stop, like, and go, "Whoa,
was that Lizzie's nipple? Fuck! I have to. I gotta call.
I'm
this
sorry.
Off
what
for
was your
second.
Name again? Yeah. I'm gonna have to. This is gonna take a second.
I was assuming it would be like my wife, and you're making it out to be a total stranger.
Well, I didn't know you were
nice to meet you.
Are you married? I didn't know you were married.
No. I'm oh, okay. Not,
this is your future wife.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
Who you have yet to meet yet?
Yeah. Oh, who knows? Maybe I've already met her.
Where do you meet people to date in this town?
I don't know, man. That is a challenge.
It is.
Yeah.
Especially when you're working. Where do you guys shoot Silicon Valley?
We shoot it here.
You shoot it here. Okay.
Yeah. It's more fun to like go outside of LA to work. Because then you do get to meet new people. And it's more fun to like go out on the town in a new place. Because you meet people that aren't here for this, that aren't located in a town where like this is it. This is like going to bars is networking. Whereas in other cities, like you go to bars to like have a drink and maybe have an interesting night
to get away from work.
Yeah, and here it's like that's work.
You're right. It is. It's a second job.
It's so pathetic. It's like it makes it sad to like go to bars sometimes. When you go with the right people, anything can be fun. But
yeah, that's true. When you go to a bar in another city, the first question isn't, so what are you working on? You auditioning or what's going on? Yeah. Are you doing something? When are you guys shooting again? Like, you don't get, I mean, maybe now you do because people would recognize you, and so they might ask you those questions.
Usually not. I feel really, because I'm not akin to fame, so it's been it's, you know, it's like one in, I don't know. I'd say like maybe 10% or 5% of people will even just like, I'll see that there's a change in their demeanor because they've seen, because I look familiar or something. But for the most part, it's just like normal interactions with human beings.
Are you going to be a Zach Galifianakis type who completely rejects fame once it happens and then just like goes and, because like many years ago, Zach just bought a place like in North Carolina and just moved there.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I'm from LA, so this is still my home.
It's such a weird layer on top of everything else that all that part of it.
Yeah.
That is
it's a bunch of bullshit. I really don't like it.
It's weird.
Yeah. It really throws me off. I don't like it at all.
Is it
it's just an unhealthy relationship that's created. Like it creates this huge barrier and divide between you and other humans for the most part.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's an awesome relationship where you've touched someone, especially because of the things that I've gotten the opportunity to work on, like Freaks and Geeks and Party Down and now Silicon Valley and Adventureland, and like there are a number of things that I'm so proud of and things that I've done more recently, like this movie Dead Snow I'm really proud of, and this movie Amira and Sam I'm really proud of. But like I get to do things where I really get to put a lot of myself into it, and so people can connect to these things. And that relationship sometimes can be awesome when it's just genuine, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but there are specifically from like Freaks and Geeks, someone who really lived that life and feels really connected to those characters because it feels like their friendships that they had when they were growing up in the 80s. They're like, there's just such a genuine, like, thank you. You know what I mean? There's like, and it's such an honor to be able to have been a part of someone's life in that way. And then there are other ways in which this business and this, like the way that Hollywood kind of pumps you out to be this thing, this product. I don't like being a product.
Yeah.
But like that just kind of becomes, that's the mechanism. So you kind of like have to be, in order to like grow in this environment, you have to find a way to do it without, I struggle every day to like try and find a way to do it without giving up any part of who I am or my morals and what I believe in, you know?
It is finding a weird balance. Like, okay, I guess I can do this just a little bit just to make sure that I get to keep doing the thing that I want to do. But ultimately, I think, I do think that there aren't really any rules, and ultimately you can just do exactly whatever it is that you want to do. I mean, you seem to make really interesting choices for things that seem really like oh, this just seemed like a thing that he really wanted to do, and it was really interesting and organic to your personality.
I've made some questionable choices for sure, but I've done everything with the right intentions, which I think certainly helps just educate what I'm about.
How do you pick something? I mean, and the more choices that I assume you're getting, and the more choices that you will get, how do you know? I mean, I guess you don't really know, but how do you gauge?
How do you choose to do so?
I think it's easier for hosting stuff because I'm just me.
Yeah.
You know, like
you start off as like a comedian, so you were always self-driven and self-creating. But like the podcast you chose to do because you just enjoyed having conversations, and At Midnight must have come out somehow organically.
Yeah, it was the way that I do it is I sort of got to a point where I realized that I didn't have to just take any job to survive.
Yeah.
And that even if I just could barely make enough money to live, I realized it was more important to start working in areas that actually just made me happy.
Yeah.
And so that's really what it was. It was just, that's how I picked stuff. Like, oh, does that sound fun? That actually does sound fun. Okay, yeah. I'll do that. And if it doesn't, you know, it kind of doesn't. I mean, I'm not saying there's no amount of money that could get me to do something. I'm not immune.
Sure.
But the number to get me to do something that didn't sound fun to me would have to be so disgustingly high that it sort of prices out of that being a realistic possibility.
Yeah.
And so, you know, because if someone's going to give you a fuck ton of money just to do something once and you're like, well, I did that, but then, you know, it allowed me to fund all these other things that I want to do. But it really is just about keeping that part of the machine greased so that you can keep doing the stuff you want.
Yeah.
I guess.
I totally get it.
But I just feel like it's harder when, or just because I don't understand the acting world as much. It's like, well, you know, your character is a separate entity that you're creating, and then you have to kind of agree with a bunch of other performers and a director and a you know, a producers, and then you hope that they all do what you think they're going to do.
Yeah.
And it feels like it could be a little scarier in that way.
You just have to trust, I guess. I mean, the it's all about trust. It's all about starting with, like, you know, in Silicon Valley, for example, or back to Freaks and Geeks, the way that those things are cast is everything. And so HBO is a different beast than NBC was way back when. So I think we were really lucky to have gotten the cast that we got on Freaks and Geeks, because usually you're fighting against the system to try and get the people that you want cast as a creator of a TV show. But HBO was really supportive of Mike from the beginning. So they really got on board, and I think, you know, Mike got everyone that he wanted to be a part of the show and continues to. So it really has been from one perspective, which is the director's perspective, and they, you know, I don't know if it's true really, but it feels true to me that 90% of directing is casting.
Yeah.
You find the right people to fit the characters that you want, and you really can create a collaborative environment and trust the people to fill in those spots as they need to be filled. But the same way that you choose what you do in your life is the exact same way that I choose what I do. It's what, I mean, I don't know if I had just read the initial script for Silicon Valley, if with no one involved, if I would have felt the same way as I would have knowing that, like, Mike Judge was attached to it and that, like, this was his baby. Cause that alone, like, I want to work with people who I think, who are inspiring to me and who have, you know, and perhaps it's someone new that I've never heard of before, but like people who I feel akin to and a bond with, creatively. And so certainly from the very beginning, I was like, oh yeah, Mike Judge is someone I absolutely want to work with at some point in my life. And to have that opportunity now is really incredible.
I'm so emotionally attached to Silicon Valley just because it represents it sort of represents the public showing of a bunch of friends of mine who are all brilliant, and now everyone is starting to see how brilliant they all are. And it was really fun it was crazy to go to the Emmys, but it was really fun to just, like, see you guys all there. Like, oh my God, you know, like a year ago, we weren't here, and I know, you know, whatever. I know it's a part of the system, and it's a part of the the entertainment business machine, but in a way it's also like,
oh, I was surprised at how excited I was. I was like, as soon as I heard that we were like nominated for an Emmy, I was like, I don't know, like I shouldn't be this. This isn't something that I care about. Like winning this award means nothing to me overall. Like in my life, this isn't going to create happiness in any way, but there's some part of me that's like, this is cool.
It is cool.
Guys, this is cool.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, just everyone all dressed up in tuxes.
Yeah.
But Silicon, you know, it's weird because I don't really watch. It's not that I would consider. It's not that I would say. I don't watch a lot of comedies on television for some reason. I don't know why. I just don't.
Yeah.
But Silicon Valley, from the very first episode, within the first minute, I was already in love with the show. It. A lot of shows take a good, you know, handful of episodes before it's like, okay, the characters are locked in. It feels like they kind of know. But this fucking show, like from minute one, like all the characters were there. It felt like the show had been on for a while. Not, it didn't feel like, oh, this is the first episode of a show.
It's really well written, and it was easy to, and it perfectly cast. I mean, everybody just kind of fills in their spot. And I have heard from so many, from countless programmers, countless, maybe five.
counted.
But, yeah, I counted them. Like these characters, specifically like the, they would talk to me about my character because it's me that they're talking to. But they've said that like this, that guy, that like Satanist, that like that character, they've worked with that guy before. That like, and it's like, whoa, interesting. Like I just took a stab at what this was because of the words on the page and doing research on my own. But like, I didn't go into I never talked to any programmers about what that was. Like we didn't have time. It's just interesting to like, oh, we did hit the nail on the head.
It's fun to watch Mike Judge essentially express all these different facets of his life throughout the years between, I mean, he really could have just done Beavis and Butthead and be like, okay, fuck you guys. But then like everything that guy does is special in some way. And it just, it has a, there's just an element to it that no matter how surreal some of the characters might start to get, he's still able to ground it in some way.
Yeah, Office Space is a really good example of that.
It's an amazing example.
Which is, I always kind of go to that when I think about having a broad character or two in anything, because you can, that's a clear example of how you can still maintain like a good tone, like a realistic tone to a movie and have some really broad characters. Mike Stapler, like that guy is just so out of control, and yet it fits. It all fits.
Yeah, and the Gary Cole character as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to, like, that guy.
Yeah, I'm going to need to see those TPS reports. yeah, that whole, Mike was just talking about how that scene of him fucking the girl holding the coffee, like that, like that fantasy scene was just, like, it just kind of happened. They were just like, I got an idea, and they just, like, shot it. It wasn't in the script. It was just like a thing, and they like grabbed a background artist that day. You mind if we use your legs? And that was it. It was funny.
Have you guys started? They're just writing season two right now.
Yeah, we've done a few table reads. We get into production. Well, we're in production, I guess, now, pre-production, and then we hop into it on the 20th of October.
Oh, really? Oh my God, you're right around the corner.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, that was the bummer thing about coming to the, like, watching all 10 episodes was at the end being like, oh, fuck, now I got to wait a year to see what happens.
Yeah. I'm excited, though. We get to do, it picks up, man. It's picks up right where I left off. It's really fun.
Well, you know that the last episode, literally the most beautiful, intricate dick joke ever is going to be attached. Like, that... You'll never get away from that. Because it's, I mean, it is. As soon as I saw what was starting to unfold, I was like, no. Like, you watch it happen in slow motion, and then I get mad at myself. Like, how did no one ever? It was so brilliant. It's right. Oh my God.
And it's based on reality.
Yeah.
Those are like, actually, that's a paper that someone actually wrote up about doing that. That's what's the best thing ever. It's like this. Not only are we just pretending to depict nerds, but we're actually, this is like, it's verbatim. this is like some group of like really hyper intelligent people who are just like, I'm going to figure out how to jerk off 175 people in the course of 12 minutes. Let's see if this is possible.
But programmer friends that I have said, like, but that's the kind of stuff we do when we get bored. Like, those are the kinds of roads that we go down when you don't want to have to do work.
It's like working. I mean, it's like, it's exactly like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but with intelligence. They're just like constantly working out.
So what do you get to do anything in between? Or did you take some time off?
I took some time off to spend with my family. I kind of haven't had any, I hadn't had any time off in a while. So I did a thriller kind of movie over the summer. And then, for the most part, the last like 8 months I spent, with my family.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
Yeah. So,
but I guess nice. You can do that when you feel like, ah, I'm going back to work in October. I don't really have to do anything.
I still did things here and there, but it was they were like minimal. So every couple of weeks I'd come back to LA and have to do like press or, shoot something. I'd like to keep myself pretty well busy. I try and take as much on my plate as I can handle. And now I've been like writing, and I sold a show with a friend of mine, Steve Lemmy.
Oh, so my God. Steve was just, yeah, Steve does the Chewing It podcast. He was just on the other day.
Oh, great, great.
Fucking hilarious.
Yeah. I'm producing something that he wrote, and we sold it to Paramount.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so I'm excited about that. It's really funny, too. I think we're going to, start taking it out soon and see what happens. But it's fun, man. That's the beauty of like getting into writing too, is like exactly what you were talking about earlier, which is like you really just can do whatever you want, and you kind of decide what's important to you, and it's fun for me because I get to write, which I really enjoy, and get involved on that, you know, on that aspect creatively. But then I also get to look forward to being in something, so I'm creating more fun for myself. It's a good cycle.
It's funny, sometimes when I'll talk to actor, if I talk to an actor and they'll go, hey, I don't know how you're able to do so many different things. And I'm like, I don't know how you're able to just act. Like, that would drive me crazy, just waiting around for someone to tell you that you can be in a thing and having very little. It's not like any of us have a ton of control over what happens in this business, but I just don't like the perceived notion that I just have to wait until someone tells me I can work. That would drive me fucking crazy.
Yeah. I don't understand why it took so long for it to change, because now you can't be an actor almost without being a writer.
Well, it was technology, essentially. I mean,
but like, you could have always, like, anyone could have pursued writing and doing that, but would maybe just no one in Hollywood would have taken you seriously?
Well, I think it's you know, even 20 years ago, there just weren't as many outlets. I mean, It really was still like 20 years ago, four networks, and there were cable channels, and of course there was programming on those cable channels, but no one really took it that seriously, and there wasn't a ton of what you would consider to be like quality Emmy-worthy programming on. So it just, budgets were super low, and you know, networks weren't really taking as many chances. Yeah. And then
look at like SNL though. Like, I feel like SNL was probably the forefront of writer actor that relationship, because those guys had to do both. You know, like, that was always, and so that they would, that was the first foray that I can think of into like writers and actors, like that relationship. If not the actors actually writing everything, at least that like tight bond between the writers and the actors.
Yeah.
Because like, you think back to like theater, and like the writer was God,
right?
And then movies, the actor became God, and the director, and like the relationship is just an ever evolving thing. And now you have to do everything in order to like really be a God.
Everyone has to be like a mini corporation. It's like, well, you have to have research and development. You have to have a social media aspect to your personality. You have to market. You have to do this, and a lot of it is a bummer because, you know, I didn't go to school to learn marketing. I was a philosophy major. Like, I wanted to be a comic. I didn't really think, I better learn how to market to, you know, I better learn how to talk to people on the internet.
Social media,
yeah. And it's still a relatively new piece of the puzzle, but it's now becoming difficult to imagine a time without it. Almost like you would, when I just sit back and think about, you know, people traversing the American frontier and be like, what did those people do all day? You know, like, oh, well, they had to stay alive, for one, and figure out what they were going to eat. That that was the most of their day.
Fix the wagon.
Fix the wagon. Yeah. Go to bed when the sun goes down. Maybe some light reading if they were literate.
Light a fire. You got to do. There's a lot to do.
There's a lot to do. But now, you know.
Everything's done for you.
When you think about, like, I drove across country a couple of years ago.
Where to where?
From L.A. to Memphis.
Oh, okay. That's a fun drive.
It is a fun drive.
How'd you go? Where did you go?
Sort of took the northern route up the...
Was that the 40?
The 40. Yeah, we took the 40 and then back down. We basically made a football shape.
Okay.
And, like, you know, and then came back down through Texas and then...
Took the 10.
Yeah. And so it was really nice. And, you know, I remember doing that a ton when I was a kid because my dad hated to fly and he had to travel a lot. So we drove everywhere. But just thinking about a time where it's like, well, I better stop. I got to look at the map and kind of unfold this and see where we are.
Thomas Guides. Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Yeah. Thomas Guides don't exist anymore.
No. But just having the phone and be like, oh, let's Yelp and see what's in the next town so we know what's safe. It already we're spoiled.
Yeah.
Much in the way that you get spoiled with LA weather and you go anywhere else and it's 50 degrees and you're like, I didn't know I needed to bring a winter coat. You know, you just get cold really fast.
Yeah, it's cold in this room. I like it. It's so hard to find a cold room in Los Angeles.
No, this room is particularly cold and we've long theorized because it is haunted by the many ghosts of people who probably died in productions on this lot.
No, that's not true. What it is... That went over really well. It's the brick. It's definitely the brick.
The bricks are haunted?
No. The bricks keep this whole room cold.
Haunted bricklayers. Okay. Ghost bricklayers put these in.
You also don't get sun on the other sides of these walls.
Because of all the ghosts?
Yeah, it's the ghosts that are
blocking.
There's
like a ghost umbrella?
There's a shade, ghost shade.
Shades. They're shades.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, is what they are. Okay. Well, as long as we can agree that this place is horribly haunted. I think that's all we...
Okay. You know what? I give up.
No, I'm sure you're right. This is this old room here.
It's a good wall.
I would love to... This is one of those lots where it'd be fun just to start ripping into buildings and just seeing what's in the walls.
Like there must be... How many corpses?
Corpses or old scripts or, you know... I mean, this place has been here since, I think, 1919. And, you know... Burns and Allen shot here, and Lucy shot here, and the Laurel and Hardy, and just like all these really amazing...
Lucy shot here, huh?
Our stage is the original I Love Lucy stage.
That's really cool.
It is.
That's awesome.
And so, but I've not been nothing weird as that.
I guess Lucille Ball created I Love Lucy, didn't she?
Yeah, it was Lucy and Desi.
So I guess that writer-actor relationship goes back way further than I could have. I didn't even think about I Love Lucy. Lucille Ball is such a genius.
She was a maverick. I mean, like,
yeah.
She sort of, I don't know if she created the model, but she definitely had a very strong, I mean, she was a very powerful performer that, and Desilu Productions produced a lot of stuff, and they were a very big, I mean, like, they were a formidable production studio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, even back then, I don't know if any of the other shows. I mean, I don't know how. I don't know if Jackie Gleason had the same kind of thing. I mean, I'm sure they all had some type of production deals, but Desilu actually did make a lot of really crazy. Didn't Desilu produce The Twilight Zone? I think they did produce Twilight Zone, yeah. Which I've been watching every night when I get into bed. I just like open up my laptop and just set it next to me. And just
did you see Snowpiercer?
Yes, I did. It was fun.
It felt like
a video game.
Parts of it were. I mean, parts of it were so kind of like absurd and crazy. But that's what helped it to me feel like an interesting episode of The Twilight Zone. Like a movie version of a Twilight Zone episode.
The ending for me, left a lot of questions in terms of like, wait, is this supposed to be hopeful? Because there's no way that you know.
Yeah, there were a lot of questions throughout that thing, but you just kind of like go along with it. How's one cart full of vegetables going to feed even just the rich people? There are a lot of things that kind of like left you wanting more answers. But
I think it was to me it felt like it felt like a Doctor Who episode. Mm-hmm. Like there was something really sort of weird and sci-fi and alien about it.
Yeah.
But a very cool idea.
Yeah.
Have you seen anything else lately that you like?
I enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy.
I did too.
You sound so disappointed in yourself.
No, I loved it.
God,
I loved it.
I enjoyed that movie.
I liked it a lot. No, I loved Guardians. I just watched, I'm doing a panel at New York Comic Con for this movie called Birdman.
For a movie called Birdman?
Yeah. With Michael Keaton and Edward Norton and Emma Stone. And
oh, cool.
And it's, and I watched
I like
it
all those people.
And it's fucking amazing.
Yeah?
It's amazing. It's not a superhero movie. It's about a guy who played a superhero, and in he's sort of having this like life crisis. But
Michael Keaton,
it's Michael Keaton. Yeah,
I love Michael Keaton. I can't. I like. I've just been waiting for him to come back and do something
I'm telling
amazing.
You,
he was like Beetlejuice is such like an iconic movie, and he's so genius. He was also the best Batman in my opinion. I'm not trying to take anything away from
anyone. Christian Bale.
Yeah. I think Christian Bale did something interesting as well. But like Keaton was it like. They don't hold up necessarily. I went back to like watch the
they're very dated,
and it's like it's a different era of
Bat
movies.
Dance was very dated.
Yeah,
but
like he's such a genius. I want him to like. I know he has more in him. I'm so excited to see.
He
what
does
this
well.
Is.
And Night Shift is one of my favorite movies of all time. The Ron Howard movie.
Oh yeah.
He's amazing in that. But he's amazing in what's the car? What's the car movie? God damn it.
That's not it.
Brain. it's called Goddamn It Brain.
Goddamn It Brain.
Gung Ho is a good movie too. Mr. Mom, he's great in Mr. Mom, but in this movie Birdman, he's like fucking mind-blowing. Like if he doesn't get nominated for an Academy Award, it'll be shocking. But the movie is it's shot in such a way where almost the entire film feels like it's one continuous shot. It's incredible.
Wow.
Just the orchestration that's involved with the movie. So when it comes out, which I think it's coming out soon, I highly recommend it.
I'll look it up.
All right.
I really, that sounds awesome. And oh yeah.
Do you go out to the movies a lot or do you watch stuff at home?
I don't go out as much as I should, but I get out every now and again. It's harder. I go to more like screenings and things and see, you know, unfortunately usually not like finished products. I did go out to like Guardians of the Galaxy because I was out of town working, and so like the whole group of us went and that was fun. But I haven't seen I heard Interstellar is supposed to be really good.
Looks
so
cool.
Excited to see that.
Looks cool. Every time I don't know why I always bat the idea down of going to see a movie when someone's like, hey, we're going to see a movie this Friday. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's like, it's
Kumail always does those invites. And I never end up making it.
You got it's parking. I mean, it's like, it's nothing that's really that oppressive, but for some reason it just always feels like, I don't know. I'm home already. And I just, I don't know if I feel like, you know, to put pants on and then
back
go park.
In the car.
God,
this is such a car driven, like it's such a car town, LA.
Yeah,
it makes it so annoying. Anytime, why can't I just walk? I was gonna. Yeah, you want to come?
Can technically?
Let's go see a movie, and I'll walk to my theater, and you guys come meet me.
I mean, you can walk wherever you want. I find I embrace the idea of pedestrianism in other cities, but in Los Angeles, I hate it
because you know the distance. It's such a hassle, like even with like Uber or you know, now we're gonna have trains that go through to the beach. They're gonna have a metro that goes to Santa Monica, but like I'm not gonna hop on the metro. Like what are you talking about?
You still have to get to the metro.
Yeah, I'm this. Yeah,
by the time you get to the metro, and if you have to park, if you can't walk to it, and then you get on the train, you wait for the train, you might as well just drive to Santa Monica.
Take way less time.
Same amount of time. And I love Santa. I really enjoy Santa Monica. I love Venice. Abbott Kinney's great.
Yeah.
You know, like going up the PCH is gorgeous, but it's so fucking traffic far from where I live.
Yeah.
That it's just a wall of, it's just fucking orcs and Mordor and evil.
What are you writing notes about? Just stuff
that gets said. Show notes. So we do the write up for the episode.
Oh.
We're
got it. Noted.
Kyle's Kyle's basically taking notes of everything you say this so we can create an artificial life form with your specific personality traits.
Mm, interesting.
Are you cool with that?
I will go on. Yes. Mm, yes. I feel like Mr. Burns. Yeah.
Yes.
Great. That sounds good.
I would. I'm jealous of your beard.
It's a happening thing. I'm more excited than anything to shave it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna feel like half your face is gone.
It's no. I'm gonna feel like half my face is now available.
Do you for parties?
For yeah. for everything. For what, anything I need a face for.
Did you grow it for?
I grew it out of lazy.
Mm-hmm.
A deep well of lazy, and then I'm keeping it to play a hippie in a movie soon.
Okay.
And then we go into Silicon Valley. And so then I'll have to shave it back down to where we had it last season. I'm so excited for that.
That is a lustrous beard.
It's like 3 months, 4 months.
That's
four,
it?
4 months, 5 months, 4 months, 4 months.
Holy shit. How long does Kyle's take you to grow yours out?
I mean, I shaved it down. It's probably going to get that slower than that, 6 months.
Oh, yeah? I don't know. I always get to a certain point, and I'm like, get turn back! Turn, and I can't.
Yeah.
You gotta break through that wall, man.
I can't do it. My face gets too itchy.
It's the itchy wall, but you also, like... there's a smart thing that you could do, which is trim under here and nobody notices. And this is where it gets the itchiest. And because it's in this weird, like, concave area, it all just clutters into itself and it gets extra itchy.
Yeah.
So you just go in there and, like, shave under there. You're fine.
And then you're fine?
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I don't think I could get away with it. So your beard kind of, like, it's mossy. Like, it kind of, like, has good beard density. And mine just grows straight out as though my face were like a Play-Doh barbershop set. That's where it just, like, it just fountains straight out of my face.
That's like Mike Rosenstein. Do you know Mike?
Yeah. Yeah. He has, like, head hair on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it looks all silky soft.
Yeah.
And, like, you understand why he grows it out because, like, it looks better than his head of hair.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's like got a sheen to it that
it's
seems,
gorgeous.
Like, impossible.
If he could... If
and
he
it
could,
doesn't curl. It, like, literally...
Just go straight,
like,
out.
Yeah. It's... I'm so jealous of it. You
no,
should do that.
I don't want to do that. Because Mike, actually, if he connected his eyebrows, you could do that game where you flip his head upside down and it looks like a different guy's face.
Totally. And you just swap his nose.
You just swap his nose a little bit. Yeah, that's all you'd have to do. No, I'm always so... It just starts to drive me crazy. I hear what you're saying about shaving the neck, but I've never been able to push through the threshold. And then one time I did do a cop mustache for like a week.
A cop mustache?
Yeah. Kind of like a, not a full handlebar, but just like a half handlebar,
okay.
Which I equate to, you know, it's like a
police officer.
Like a Southern cop mustache.
Yeah. I get it.
Hey, son, you're driving too fast back there.
The Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, exactly. Well, maybe not that bushy.
Got it.
But I just don't look right with facial hair.
Yeah. I got to say, mustaches just in general aren't, they look good on pedophiles. And by good, I mean you can tell who the pedophiles are. So that's good for society.
So that we can spot them.
Yeah. Oh, you're a pedophile.
How did you know?
Oh, sir.
Oh.
Foolish pedophiles.
And he goes to shave, and then his hand is just like, he just can't get near it. It's like the mustache won't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Positive, negative magnets.
Yeah, like people have long said the soul of the pedophile lives in the mustache. So if you could just get rid of them, if you could just get rid of that mustache.
The soul of the pedophile is in the mustache. Is that what you just said?
Yeah. Did I get that wrong?
No, you okay. Got it right. I just took a minute to really understand what was happening in our conversation. I somehow blanked for a moment.
You had to stop and go,
and I was like, oh,
what
that's
were we
right.
talking about?
We were talking about pedophiles.
Mustaches.
Yeah. Now Kyle's got it right. Pedophile rant.
Pedophile stash.
Are you keeping?
Yeah. His soul lives there.
Yeah. Well, you make
you
it sound it. Like a. I don't know. It's not as ominous when you write it that way. His soul lives in there.
This is gonna. Kyle's writing his next stand-up routine. He's just taking it verbatim from.
Is that
the funny bits of this? Yeah.
People catch on pretty fast.
Well, Kyle always wanted to be the pedophile stash guy.
Awesome.
No, I don't know.
Finally, a thing.
Finally, a hook. A terrible, terrible hook. Oh.
Oh, that pedo.
I'm cursed by my own success. I'm too good at it. What do you think you want to do ultimately, or do you not? Do you have a long term plan, or do you just kind of want to just keep having fun and picking fun stuff, or do you want to build a thing? Do you want to build a Desilu?
I'll probably start directing at some point, but my plans are fairly simple in that I just am enjoying. I'm more. What's more important to me is just being happy. Yeah. So I find the things that make me happy, and I stick to them.
Do you stress out about things, or are you pretty even keeled?
It depends. I definitely do get stressed, but only when I've probably taken on too much responsibility for myself to handle at any given time. I need to get better about like working when I need to be working in that period of time, and then taking a break.
Mm-hmm.
I need like a every now and again. I just need to, like, I haven't ever gone on a vacation.
Well, the good thing about what we do is that it's not a routine 9-to-5 job, which I think is good for our brains.
Like, but it's also, it's tricky because then you feel like you don't need a vacation because you're not working as much as you think other people are working, but you are, and you're working, and density wise, you're working more when you are working than, you know, than like other people necessarily need to designate like brain power to their job in that. Do you know what I mean? Like when I have to give 100% of myself when I am working, and it's silly that it's called work, but you know, when I'm acting or writing or something, it takes a lot out of me. I feel really exhausted sometimes, and I'm like, why? I wasn't really doing that much, but it can be really draining. But I need like a break. I need like an actual, like a week of just like laying on the beach and enjoying the sun and reading a book.
Well, it's brain engagement time. It's like, yeah, there's a ratio between being awake and having your brain super engaged. Like, I can feel, you know, I'll have these days where it's like, you know, meetings in the morning, then podcast, and then writing, and then show, and then another podcast, and then another show, and then like a live thing at night. And it's just, by the end of the day, I could just feel my brain like super scrunched up.
That sounds exhausting. Just what you said. Sounds exhausting.
Because all day long, I'm not complaining. I mean, I set it up that way on purpose, but there is a type of exhaustion that when all day you feel like, oh, I gotta make sure that everything's firing properly, know, as best as it can be. And the downside to our kind of amorphous schedules is that, like you said, you know, you just don't know when it ends. I'm like, well, I mean, technically I'm at home, but I'm on the email and I'm trying to figure stuff out. So I'm still technically working.
Yeah. Yeah. It can consume your life like 100% of your day every day.
Do you ever want a family? Do you think you want like a,
yeah, I mean, we'll see. I'm just kind of taking it as it comes. First, I need a, someone to share that family with.
What?
What?
You mean you can't just...
Like a woman?
You can't just go...
I'm looking for a woman. I'm going to start there.
Okay, here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to start a dating show that's just you.
I did not.
Hear me out.
Okay.
It's called Star Search.
Ah... Yeah, I'm hooked.
Okay, knew if you heard the title,
you got me.
You would be on
board. It's a good title. I think we'll have to make sure we can get the rights to it, but we add that extra R.
You have the extra R, so that makes it, you can add an extra H to the end of search.
Yeah. Perfect. We did it. We cracked the code on changing titles.
That's how you get over that. That's how you get past that. Yeah. And then on each date you'll have to give the requisite rating at the end, like they did on traditional Star Search.
Oh, right. 7.5.
2.25 stars. It would be like that.
I didn't watch Star Search, clearly.
What? You never watched Star Search?
No.
Oh, you've got to go down the rabbit hole sometime if it's on the YouTubes, because it is.
When was it? 70s?
No, it was 80s and into the 90s.
Oh.
That show must have been on for like 15, 20 years. And it was... Especially the ones in the 80s, like, are the choicest ones because they're so... I feel like we're so self-aware as a culture now.
Yeah.
And the 80s did not suffer from that malady. Yeah. Like, it was people really trying, really earnestly, and really, you know, and it's fun.
That does sound fun.
It was fun. Sometimes you think like, oh, we're more enlightened than they are because we're hip to ourselves now. But there is something that's kind of attractive about, you know, being blissfully ignorant about things and just trying because you just want to do a good job, mm-hmm. as opposed to having to second guess. What if I look stupid? What if someone on social media says it's dumb? What if the people do with this? Like, there was none of that.
Yeah.
There was none of that at all.
You're only worried about what your parents thought at that point.
That's right. Yeah. You still worry about that.
Yeah.
Did you, if there was, is there another era you would ever want to, like, inhabit? Or do you feel like you're in the right time?
I'd love to go back and experience the 60s.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great time. Just doing mushrooms, listening to Led Zeppelin, fucking... That sounds like heaven.
I think mid 60s London, I think, would be an amazing place to be.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You know, like just like as the British rock invasion
was
sweeping the world, like what a hotbed of style and
you'll just be there chanting One Generation. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, the Greatest Generation.
No. One. Isn't that the name of that the like hot new young band?
Oh, One Direction.
One Direction.
Yeah,
I clearly am not up to speed.
You know, you don't have to fake
music.
Not get the name right so people don't know.
No, I didn't. They're everywhere though. They're like on every. Like I'm like, who
because
are these?
You listen to them. That's why you think
three,
they're everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. They're in my ears. No, they're like on every magazine. They're like I see their little faces.
I honestly could not.
How are they so big?
I don't know.
Who is this? What is this?
Well, it's just a boy band phenomenon, you know. But it's
Justin Bieber seems to be dying out, which I'm very happy about.
But he won't fucking go away. He's like.
No, well, he'll keep touring, and all those little girls are going to grow up to be, like, his fan base is going to dwindle, like, slowly fade. It's not going to be a strong change the way that he came about.
Yeah.
It was, like, so fast.
And then sooner or later, he'll do something that's, because he's done a lot of douchey
things.
That's
terrible. Yeah, like, Britney Spears kind of, like, lost a lot of her fan base, and they're still, like, hardcore fans. But, like, all the dumb things that she went through, granted, it was, you know, probably mostly due to her being in the public eye and that lifestyle. He's just, like, a dumb little shit. like it just seems like everything he's doing is just like promoting more mistakes to be made, and I only hear terrible stories about him.
And in a way, I mean, you know, I blame him and then I don't blame him at the same time, because I feel like he was farmed in an environment where no one taught him. Like
He's Canadian, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no excuse. You should be a humble little fucking kid. Your parents should have raised you right, as every other fucking Canadian parents have to their kids. You're just being a shit. He's like, he turned American when he came down here. I can't wait till we kick him out, till like he loses his visa, and he has to go back and like just be a normal human being up in Canada and can't come to America anymore. Yeah. That will be amazing.
And then he's just got to go live in a logging camp up in Canada somewhere.
Yeah.
And then just write logger songs at some point. Something will happen with that kid. Something will happen sooner or later where he'll do something so insane that...
I think so. He's already done crazy things.
Because
when he fires a gun off in public, then people will be like, oh, this now he's not doing.
Not cute anymore.
No, it's not cool. But he like has definitely like risked his life and countless other people's lives driving 100 miles an hour in a residential neighborhood. Like there are really dumb things he's already doing that just because people haven't gotten hurt yet, no one's really making huge light of them.
And then as the attention dwindles a little bit, that's when the, you know. When the need to,
he'll need a dad.
I can start to get, you know, you can start acting out a little more.
He like peed in some like bush at a restaurant that was just like at a restaurant and recorded it. Like, why do you need to do that? What is the point of that?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. There are certain things where you're like, you should know not to.
Yeah, you're not. I mean, maybe you are an idiot. You know what? I take back the beginning of my last sentence. Maybe you are a total idiot.
Not that I understand the dynamics of their relationship, but how does that Selena Gomez girl keep going back to that? I just don't understand. Help me out here. Somebody? Anybody?
I don't know that she's doing too much better if she's going back to him anyway. I think...
I just feel like most people, if they had done 1/100th of the stupid shit that he's pulled, that someone else would be like, all right...
You're dead. I'm going to kill you now. Yeah. Someone would have just like, some waiter at that bar would have just like grabbed him by the face and slammed him against the wall.
Just thrown him into traffic. Yeah. You're done. Get the fuck out.
My words have never been like a big like fodder for anything, but I feel like if anything were to just explode, it would be this conversation.
Martin like, Starr.
On the interwebs.
Martin Starr thrashes like, Justin Bieber, yeah. Also vows to start Star Search. A show where he wants to meet you, a single lady.
Justin Bieber to co-host.
I mean, I don't like him, which is what makes it great for television.
Yeah, those relationships. People want to see us.
Would you ever do... would you ever host anything? Or
I don't think I have the... I don't think I...
Doesn't really sound...
Yeah, I don't know that it would drive me to... I don't know.
Nothing?
I get it. I just don't think I would be the best at it. I prefer just having conversations.
Yeah.
I don't, it's not in my skill set.
Do you, when you start directing and the more you start writing, do you think you'll continue to want to be in that stuff or do you want to just like start to transition?
I'll probably be in it, yeah.
I wonder how.
I think it'll be a transition into being in it more. But at first, I'll just want to focus on directing and kind of dip my toe in that and figure it out.
Yeah.
But definitely.
So what else is there anything specifically you want to promote while you're here before we let you go?
I mean, I'm really proud of I did a zombie movie that comes out on Friday. Really excited about it. I've seen it so many times and somehow it's always still fun.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. It's really funny too. And we get great crowd reactions. It's so much fun too to like hear it with people. Have you seen it, Kyle? You saw the first one? It's so good. It's so fun. It's really fun too. And like there are people in the audience that don't quite know what they're getting into. And so like when it starts to go crazy, you hear someone that like can't handle what's happening scream, and you're like, "That's what I came here for." Because it just makes it so much more fun to like someone that doesn't know that they're about to see 14 feet of intestines. It's like it's just fun. Yeah, yeah.
So good.
Yeah. It's red versus dead. It's it's Nazis versus communists. It's fun.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's fun.
Is it getting a wide release?
I don't actually know.
You're nodding your head. And VOD. And VOD.
Yeah, we come out VOD same day, but yeah, I know that we'll be by Coastal LA and what are the details, madam? I don't actually know. That word madam made you seem like a 70-year-old woman, but I didn't mean that. I meant like
excuse me.
I meant
madam. Well, the zombie movie's coming out in various markets. Oh.
We'll be I'm told by my friend madam that we'll that will be. And she's not like a madam like all
she's
right.
Not
I'm digging a hole. I'm digging a deep deep hole. yeah. We'll be in top I'm being told we're in top 10 markets, which
and VOD
and the
video on demand. I demand to see Red versus Dare.
Did you get the big iPhone? Is that the massive iPhone?
It's
6?
The massive one.
It's why? Don't you have a tablet?
But I don't carry the tablet around everywhere. I understand what you're saying,
yeah.
And I was saying the same thing.
It's bigger than your hand.
No, but I have tiny meerkat hands. But it
yes,
it,
yes, you do.
I was in your camp until I got it, and I was like, "This is dumb. I'm going to take it back." Oh,
but you had to be you had to like the idea of it, or else you wouldn't have gotten it. Spent $8,000 on a phone.
I spent $8,500 on a phone, and but it's just such a great experience. I don't know. I like it. I like the big phone. I didn't think I would, but now the other phone. Like when I hold the other phone in my hand, I'm like, ugh, what is this Hobbit bullshit? What tiny person was this made for? You know, I don't know.
You.
Oh, points. So good. That's so funny. It is. Yeah. No, you're right. It is.
I'm in the process of getting the 6, the smaller one, though.
You got the smaller one?
Yeah.
It's, I mean, you know, if you want to hold it in your hand and see what it feels like.
Why?
Because I want you to love it as much as I do.
Because you can't, like, how do you walk
put it
around?
In your pocket?
I have to like manipulate my.
No, you don't. Look at that. Fits right in your. Out. Fits right in your pocket.
It sticks out.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
No, it's not.
It does. Look.
Well, you have. Look. Well, look at you, Mr. Shallow Pockets. Look. No, that's not.
I have deep pockets.
I feel like you're fudging it, like you're in a before of a bad infomercial.
No, I'm proving.
Has this ever happened to you?
I'm proving to you that the phone doesn't go down.
It does go down. It goes down. I can't even see it from where I'm sitting.
Incorrect, sir.
No. Martin, I can't even see the phone from here. Okay, you know, now I see because you pulled it up.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I have to just adjust. Maybe it was my dick that was blocking
please,
it going down.
Please don't smash my phone into this into your dick side.
Yeah.
My phone. Oh.
Don't let him talk to you like that, phone.
I took dick pics while I was
That's what the phone needs is like a side lens.
Yeah.
So that when it's in your pocket, you can just snap little.
Oh yeah,
dick
I can
pics.
Take a pic on the sly for you.
Here you go. What's this? Is that a side of a pink building? Because oh, you would just get off.
That's right. You want an office there?
I do. Hang on a second. Here comes the brick.
That's what it, I like it. Right. It's a good name.
Here comes the brick. Well, thank you for doing a walk on at midnight too. I know you're doing.
I'm excited. Yeah.
It's going to be really fun. And I did. You saw the thing we're doing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's gonna be really fun.
Yeah. It's fun. It's just me and you talking.
It's you and I basically reenacting.
Who's on the show tonight?
Who's on your episode? I think it's Maria Bamford and Eddie Pepitone and James Adomian.
That's great. Oh, I know James. That's great.
It's an amazing lineup.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love Maria.
Basically, the sketch we're doing is you and I are reading Tinders that go from 0 to 100.
Mm-hmm. They're really funny.
Where someone like asks a seemingly innocuous question, and then the girl's like, "Oh, that's great." And the guy's like, "Cause I'm gonna put my dick on your body," and then where it just goes like really bad, really fast.
Yeah, I looked up a bunch of those. I don't know. My buddy was into Tinder for a while. I think he's kind of cooled down. But then this isn't one of those like I was on Tinder, but because I also was on Tinder. But this is I'm being honest. My buddy was anyway. I just dug a hole for myself.
How did you find it?
I didn't need to dig. Tinder? Well, my buddy was just on it.
But you said you were on it, too.
Yeah, because he turned me on to it. He was like, oh, there's this thing. And I was like, that's just for fucking, right? Like, you're just... And he's like, no, it's for, like, you can find relationships or do whatever. And I was like, no, I fucking highly doubt that. It's just for fucking... And then we got into, like, a heated argument about it. And I was like, no, it's definitely, like, what you're doing is promoting you just getting laid. This isn't like a... You're not going to meet your future wife on Tinder.
I might fuck who will be my future wife.
Yeah, yeah.
On Tinder.
I met two people intentionally off Tinder and accidentally met a third, and just for the most part, awkward interactions.
Right.
So that was it. I just stopped.
Did they know? Did they recognize you from television?
I guess so, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm going to answer that with a definitive yes. We never had a conversation about it. I never had a conversation with any of them about it, but yes. That seems
hello,
to be
hello, I am television's Martin Starr.
Right. I'm not on television. I'm on the Home Box Office Network, so...
I am Home Box Office's Martin Starr, also in Red vs. Dead.
Yeah, you got it.
Coming to giant movie screens.
And small movie screens in your home.
For VOD. When you can video on demand.
But there's some funny shit that people do from 0 to, like, they just go crazy on Tinder. They just, like, there's no, like, filter. Just like, hey, want to fuck? Like, it's just like
that. Yeah, because no one has to bear any responsibility for anything. There's no consequences.
There kind of are, because you can take a screen cap of that person's picture, if it's even them.
Yeah, but most people don't care about that. They just give them more attention. Like, you wouldn't want to
maybe
do that because
right.
it'd be on Huffington Post if you did that. But for most people, they don't give a shit. It's a funny story. And then they're like, oh, I totally said I was going to put my balls on a girl's shoulder and I never talked to her again. Like, that's, you know.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a funny story in hypothetically, but I don't think I know anyone that'd be like, yeah, I just told this girl I was going to put my balls on her shoulder. What? You're an idiot. That's how I'd respond to that.
I was going to give her the shoulder
balls. Swear to God, it's a funny story.
No, I'm genius for doing this. But, no, you're not.
Don't tell me any more of your funny stories, Brad. I'm okay.
I don't think the word funny means to you what it
means. Yeah.
You keep on using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Where did we go? Where did we go for that accent?
Princess Bride.
Oh.
That's Princess Bride. That's a little Princess Bride reference.
Marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right.
That's all I got from that.
It's when Vadim says, inconceivable.
And then Mandy Patinkin's character says, you keep on using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. Let's go watch Princess Bride.
Yeah.
All right, Martin Starr.
Hey.
It's been great to have you on the podcast.
It's been my pleasure.
I'll see you on the show in a little bit, and I will go see your... I actually will go see your movie.
I think you'll like it. Unless you have like a weird thing about blood.
Well, not a bad thing.
I mean, it's fake. Oh, you love blood.
I do.
You have a heart on the whole time. it's a lot of blood. It's fake blood, but it's blood.
No, don't ruin it. It's a snuff film.
It's real blood. I just didn't want to tell anybody.
Good. I appreciate that. It's good. Well, we'll cut that last part out. Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Burrito?
Enjoy your burrito. You should. That's what we tell people at the end of the podcast.
Oh, yes. Then enjoy your burrito.
Yay!
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Gen Z high school girls have gone through a lot. So what could and did send a shockwave through a group of 50 of them competing in one of the nation's biggest scholarship competitions? I'm your host, Shimo Liai, and I'm going to take you behind the scenes of the Distinguished Young Women Competition. I was Nevada's competitor 20 years ago, but this time, a Supreme Court decision catapults all 50 girls into the center of a nationwide debate about their rights. These girls, who have spent months fighting to make it to nationals, are faced with a tough decision. Do they speak up for their political beliefs, or do they stay focused on winning the money?
I think it's going to get ugly.
Follow the competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of the competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.